Chapter 9.
I'm sorry, Nevaeh, her father said when she dashed into the kitchen. He was slouched forward at his chair, smelling of sweat and cardboard. She knew he had just returned from his night shift and would be going to bed shortly. You know she wanted to be there today.
I know, Nevaeh replied, trying to force the sadness from her mind.
Focus, she told herself. She grabbed a banana and quickly gulped down some orange juice. She'd been thinking about it for weeks, but she just doesn't have it in her right now, he added.
I know, Dad. I saw her.
Nevaeh grabbed her phone and headed toward the door.
Focus, she told herself again.
But the sad image of Mom, crumpled in bed, kept clouding her thoughts as her father continued, talking as much to himself as to her. We always knew these treatments would be rough. If they worked, they would buy her some time. That's what she wanted. But if we knew it would be like this...
Dad shrugged.
He fished his phone from his pocket and placed it on the cluttered table. Docs are supposed to call this morning to discuss her latest tests.
We'll see.
In that moment, Nevaeh spotted something in her father she had never noticed. For the first time, he seemed fragile too. The sight burned in her mind as he swallowed hard and seemed to regain himself.
Whatever it is, we'll take it one day at a time, right, baby? What else can we do?
His words made sense, but Nevaeh couldn't listen. The somber kitchen, Dad's tired voice, Mom's labored sleeping, it was all too much. Nevaeh had to get out. She had to move, to push back, whether it be against cancer or Jonique or anything that added more pain to a world already full of hurt.
I gotta go, she huffed, dashing out the door. Good luck today, Dad called out. I know you'll do great.
Nevaeh rushed to the bus stop, her stomach a tangle of nerves. Overhead, the morning sun blazed, promising to scald the entire city in a few hours. The 10-minute wait for the crowded bus seemed like an eternity, but the rattling stop-and-go ride through morning traffic to Baldwin Hill felt even longer. When the bus finally hissed to a stop at the base of the hill, Nevaeh knew she did not have time to do her full warm-up. Again, nerves scrambled her stomach and made her legs tremble with energy. A handful of runners had already gathered at the starting point of the running trail when Nevaeh finally joined them.
Nevaeh, is that you?
A familiar voice asked. Nevaeh turned around to see Ms. Sherman weaving through the runners toward her. She wore shorts, a Bluford cross-country t-shirt, and yellow running shoes instead of her usual teacher clothes. A silver coach's whistle dangled from her neck, and she clutched a clipboard under her arm. In the bright sunshine, the smiling teacher almost seemed like a different person from the one who had taken away her phone at the end of the school year.
Hey, Ms. Sherman, Nevaeh said.
I'm so glad you're here, the teacher beamed. How's your summer going?
It's been okay, Nevaeh stammered, not wanting to explain. Especially now.
Miss Sherman squinted for a second as if she saw something that concerned her. But then someone interrupted and she stepped away to greet other runners.
I'm happy you decided to join us too, Jonique, the coach said. We might have a champion team this year in cross and track.
Jonique gave the coach a weak smile until she passed, but then rolled her eyes dramatically at Nevaeh as if she were trash.
Girl, why are you even here?
Jonique scoffed.
You know you can't beat me. That's why you didn't show up that day.
Should've stayed home today, too. Whole school's gonna watch this one. Sasha's making sure of that.
She pointed to a girl standing at the edge of the crowd, aiming a phone at them.
Maybe you should use your mama as an excuse again and go home.
Nevaeh's blood boiled.
What's your problem? She fumed. I got as much right to be here as you. And if I win, you ain't gonna win.
Our team is solid without you, and I'm working on a D1 scholarship. I am not about to let you mess all that up. So tell everyone your mama is sick or whatever you need to do and leave. But it's the piercing blast of the coach's whistle sliced through the air. Instantly, the group of runners, now 24 strong, moved to the foot of Baldwin Hill where Coach Sherman stood, whistle in hand, waving them forward. Jonique rushed off to join them, and Nevaeh followed close behind. "Welcome to cross-country tryouts," the coach boomed. "It's great to see so many familiar faces, and so many new ones, too. That's how teams are built, and that's what we want here, Bluford's team." Nevaeh tried to listen as the coach went over the tryout details. She learned they would be running in groups of 3 and that the course began and ended at the bottom of Baldwin Hill, a loop of 5K. Nevaeh nodded and shook out her legs, eyeing Jonique the whole time. "If all goes well, this should be your slowest run all season." "Why?" "Because we will train you and make you faster each week in practice," the coach explained. "Today's goal is to get a baseline of your speed, your commitment, and what you bring to the table." The coach then droned on about JV and varsity details, but Nevaeh had stopped listening. All the chatter didn't matter. Not today, not for this race. No matter what anyone said, Nevaeh knew it was time to settle the score with Jonique once and for all, for everyone to see, even if Mom couldn't be there. Even if she never got to see her run in person. "So take a few minutes to stretch and warm up," the coach concluded. "Then divide up into 3s and give us your best run, ladies. We'll record your times at the end." A small crowd of parents, friends, and spectators had gathered in the lot at the base of the hill by the starting line. They would have a perfect view of the runners as they sprinted to the finish. Nevaeh figured she knew some of the onlookers from school, but she blotted them out. Her thoughts were on someone else. Scanning the group of runners, she found Jonique at the edge of the crowd stretching. Her friend Sasha filmed her. "It's about to go down," Jonique was saying when Nevaeh stepped in front of the camera. "I'm a run in your heat today," Nevaeh stated calmly. "I hope everyone's watching." Jonique's jaw dropped. Sasha stopped filming, but Nevaeh didn't care. "They might not like you, but they will respect you," Mom had said. Nevaeh would prove it. "All right, on my mark," Coach Sherman called out then, holding up her whistle and locking eyes with the first 3 runners. With a quick, screeching blast, the first heat took off. Nevaeh's limbs tingled as she hovered by the starting area, watching each group of runners launch up the hill. Finally, Jonique approached with Teresa Ortiz, a mid-distance runner from the track team. "Next group, get set," Coach Sherman barked. Nevaeh moved into position between Teresa and Jonique. For a second, the coach eyed them. "Remember, ladies, pace yourselves. This is a baseline run, not a race," she said with a sly smile, as if she already knew they weren't going to listen. Despite the building heat, Nevaeh's hands were cold and clammy. Charged with adrenaline, her pulse began to pump like a piston in her neck. The quiet before the start seemed to stretch out and slow down until, whirr, Coach Sherman's whistle screamed into the air. Teresa bolted forward, taking the lead immediately and setting a blistering pace. Jonique slipped right behind her, throwing an elbow that caught Nevaeh in the chest and made her shift back a step. Almost instantly, the trail began to pitch upward. Heat from the rocky pathway blasted the runners as they climbed. Teresa was quick, much faster than Nevaeh expected, but she knew the pace was impossible to maintain. Several runs up and down Baldwin Hill had taught her that. Jonique seemed to know it too. She tucked in behind Teresa and let her lead, not once trying to pass her or even match her stride as they ascended the steaming hill. Bits of gravel and stone scattered as the trail zigzagged higher. Careful to control her breathing, Nevaeh felt her heart rate beginning to spike and her legs starting to ache as they reached a sharp bend. Nevaeh knew Jonique's strategy and what was coming. Jonique was running smart, hanging back, storing her energy, and waiting for the right time to break out into a sprint. To win, Nevaeh knew she would have to do it too. Yet already, just keeping up with them, she was starting to feel fatigue. Her lungs wanted more oxygen. Her lips wanted water. Her legs wanted a break. "No," she told them all, "not now." Just then, Teresa's foot clipped a rock, causing her to stumble awkwardly. Jonique just managed to avoid her as she tripped sideways into Nevaeh. The collision was minor, but it broke Nevaeh's stride and stole her momentum. "Sorry," Teresa huffed as she gasped for air and grabbed at her ankle. Nevaeh stepped past her to see Jonique accelerating. The disruption had given her a solid lead, and now she was pulling the trigger, exploding up the hill like a rocket as clouds of dust erupted at her feet. Nevaeh watched her disappear around a switchback and knew she was in trouble. "No." Desperation stung Nevaeh's eyes. Her hopes of beating Jonique were fading. Maybe Jonique was right. Maybe Nevaeh could never beat her. Maybe she just wasn't good enough for the cross-country team. Maybe this tryout had been a mistake, a fantasy she and Mom created to cope with cancer. Nevaeh knew she could end it by just stopping. That would cease the burning pain in her legs and chest. She could just walk the rest of the way and be done with it. She imagined telling Mom the news. Mom of a year ago might have shown her disappointment, but today, as frail and tired as she seemed, Mom would barely notice. She would just go back to sleep and say, "It don't matter." But Nevaeh knew it did. She remembered how happy it made Mom to know she was trying out for the team. The glint in her eyes had been real, a small joy they discovered at a time they needed it, when so much else had gone wrong. To give up now, Nevaeh knew, would make it all meaningless. It would be accepting failure when Mom had taught her to fight. Not only would Nevaeh be letting Mom down, she would be letting herself down too. Nevaeh's legs burned, her chest throbbed, her lungs were starved for oxygen, and now, deep in her heart, she felt a river of sorrow for her mother. There was so little she could control, so few things she could do for her mom, but running, she could still do that, at least for a little while longer. The path ahead shifted and dipped. Nevaeh knew it was the spot where she had run into Kareem so long ago. That meant she was almost at the top. The rest of the run would be downhill. Easier if she could reach it. "Not gonna quit, Mama. Not gonna quit." She repeated the words like a prayer in her mind. Maybe there was no hope of catching Jonique or making the team, but she could still finish strong, still fight to the last step. The trail began to flatten beneath her feet. Suddenly, the sky expanded, and she was on top of Baldwin Hill. A slight breeze kissed her face as she passed where she and Kareem once stood together, alone above the city. "Let's finish this," she told herself, pushing ahead. Immediately, the ground began to tilt downward. Suddenly, gravity, which fought her the whole way up, now drew her forward and urged her to go faster. Nevaeh answered, picking up her pace and allowing her momentum to build. Pushed by the downward slope, her feet churned over the dusty path and Nevaeh accelerated. With the breeze in her face and the trail winding out before her, Nevaeh suddenly felt airborne, like she was some winged creature flying down the hill. The parking area and visitor center appeared in the distance. All that was left was the final straightaway, just a quarter mile or so, and she would reach the finish line. Suddenly, Jonique came into view. She was only about 20 yards ahead. "Not close," Nevaeh thought. "Not yet." Nevaeh stretched her legs and threw herself into an all-out sprint. Jonique's back inched closer. Nevaeh's pain was real now and impossible to ignore. Fire burned her muscles and her vision dimmed with effort, but she knew the end was coming. It was right there. And she was still flying. With a glance at the parking lot, she saw a familiar Honda with a young boy standing next to it, jumping and screaming at the top of his lungs. In front of him was a wheelchair with a tiny woman hunched inside, holding her slender fist in the air. A man stood nearby, clapping and hooting. It was her family, Nevaeh realized. They had come for her. They'd made it. Mom had kept her promise. She had fought through her suffering to be there for her. Her eyes stinging from sweat and tears, Nevaeh dug deeper, pushed harder, and began to close the distance with Jonique. In the electric blur of Christian's screams, Dad's cheers, Mom's fist, and another familiar figure, Kareem, urging her forward, Nevaeh matched Jonique's stride. She propelled herself right up to the champion runner, shoulder to shoulder, almost step for step, as they reached and finally crossed the finish line. Jonique at 21 minutes, 49 seconds, Nevaeh at 21 minutes, 50 seconds. The best times of tryouts so far, girls, the coach hollered as they passed. Jonique raised an arm in victory and collapsed on a nearby bench, but Nevaeh trotted ahead, bleary-eyed and wobbly, into the parking lot to the people who had come to cheer for her. You came, Mom, you guys came, she said, hugging her mother's slight frame. Of course I did, baby, Mom whispered. I heard you mention Jonique this morning. I had to show up. Your brother, he helped me with the chair. I'm sorry I didn't win, Nevaeh said to them all. Tears of sorrow and gratitude and love rolled down her cheeks. Mom had them too. Are you kidding? Look around. You won, baby. I'm so proud of you, Mom whispered. You're my champion. You're mine too, Mom, always. They hugged for several long moments at Baldwin Hill, the frail woman in her wheelchair, and her family. People who had filmed the race turned off their cameras and hushed their voices. Kareem flashed a heart sign to Nevaeh from a distance before leaving them. Other athletes and even Coach Sherman, who had come to congratulate her, decided not to intrude and left the family alone. Even Jonique shed a tear in the parking lot and posted one word on her social media channels and on Nevaeh's page, something that spread at Bluford High faster than any gossip, quicker than lightning. Respect. 3 lightning bolt emojis. 3 heart emojis.